There's no question we're going through economic restructuring, and crypto is going to join gold and silver, or has joined gold and silver to be a part of this restructuring. And we're going to look at four different aspects of the crypto world under Donald Trump's administration. And we have Guy Gottschalk here to talk to us about this. He's the CEO of My Digital Money, and they do work with crypto. Very good work, as a matter of fact. And I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. I want to thank you very much for joining us. And listen, a lot of people aren't getting info that they need about restructuring that's going on with the economy as things get manipulated here and change there. So please share this far and wide so we can keep people apprised of what's going on. Guy, welcome to the show. I'm really glad you could join us. I'll tell you, my big takeaway from crypto right now, what I do know a little bit about, is the crypto summit. And oh my gosh, was that a love fest? I mean, I never heard so many compliments exchanged between the president and crypto people ever. It was incredible.
Yeah, it's definitely a radical change from where we were before with the previous administration. You probably heard the term Operation Choke Point 2.0. It seemed like there was an agenda to drive crypto abroad and squash, any innovation that was happening. And now it went from, enforcement, you could say, to engagement, right? Now we have summits happening in the White House with President Trump and industry leaders. Like, for example, the Winklevoss twins were speaking, at the summit with Trump, and one of them, made a comment that, just months ago that he could imagine himself being in jail, and now, here he is in the White House, advising on crypto policy. So it's a complete 180, and there's dialogue happening, so that's what we always wanted in the crypto community. And Trump has basically set the tone, created a working group, and is talking about, Operation Choke Point 2.0, acknowledging that's what was happening, and now we want to do the opposite. We want to work on crypto legislation to make it clear for companies, how to be compliant, and to kind of bring everyone in and get people working in the space. I think stable coins are really important for the US dollar,
Can you
right?
explain what
So
that is for people that may not know?
stable coin is, it's a cryptocurrency that's backed by the US dollar. It could be any fiat currency, but the majority of stable coins are in, backed by US dollar. So essentially, it's a way to, essentially improve the accessibility of the US dollar. It makes it more efficient to transact, right? The settlement time is instantaneous. And so it really can help cement the world reserve currency status of the US dollar. So that's why it's important for us to lead in this space. We want to create stable coin regulation, so it's clear to issuers, how to create stable coins in a compliant way. Right, how to do so in a way that is safe for consumers, right? And so, there's been a lot of ambiguity around it, and that's held back the industry. The goal is to get something passed and on Trump's desk, in the next 2 to 3 months. The goal is the summer, and that would be a big win. And I think it's a big win for the U.S. dollar, frankly. And so, there was always questions. We always talked about, is it Bitcoin or the dollar? No, I think they work well together, and I think crypto in general could help the US dollar, right? Stable coins in particular.
It's amazing here because as the US is losing world reserve currency status with the dollar, and Japan was the latest, that was a big blow. I mean, the stock market really reacted negatively to that. But what I'm hearing from you here is that crypto could bring stabilization back to the dollar. And again, because other nations are involved in crypto, again, you're back to world reserve currency status. That's a pretty interesting approach. And I'm sure that was Trump's motivation for the summit. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think that's a, he's prioritizing that particular bill. The other bill is FIT 21, which is the markets structure bill, which essentially defines which agency is governing crypto, what's a security, when is a cryptocurrency a security, when is it not. And it really makes things much more clear. And I think that kind of goes hand in hand with stablecoin. You kind of need the stablecoin bill, you kind of need both of them at the same time. But it seems like the stablecoin bill is being prioritized. And, I think a big part of that is, the US dollar, right? It's important to have a US backed stablecoin, and to lead the charge there, right? Because if we don't do it, then, there'll be other stablecoins in other currencies, right? Backed by other currencies that will dominate if we don't lead the charge here.
Is it your belief that Trump is going to use a basket full of backings for the dollar, not just limited to crypto, as he indicated in the summit, but perhaps gold and silver as well? Do you have any opinion on that?
I mean, I assume so. I assume he'll do whatever makes sense to basically reduce the deficit and to move into having assets instead of just liabilities. And so he's a businessman. So I think whatever makes sense, whatever assets will preserve value and grow in value, I think is in the scope, right? I don't think you can rule anything out. And I think it makes sense to have Bitcoin in strategic reserve. Which is what's been established last week, right? There was an executive order being signed to basically take any assets the US government has and put them into the Treasury, right, as a strategic reserve. And I think there'll be a bill coming that will dictate how much we should purchase on top of what we've already seized. And I think that will be important. It's the same kind of strategy that some companies have, like MicroStrategy, converting their cash reserves to a portion of it to Bitcoin, right? I think it's a no-brainer when you look at the performance of Bitcoin compared to other assets in the last 10 years. So having at least a small fraction, it makes sense, right?
Yeah, that really does. I'll tell you, my mind gets cloudy, and I don't know that anyone can answer this question. Let's say you had three things backing the dollar: gold, silver, crypto. How would you divide up the backings? Because gold and crypto and silver may not fluctuate in price at the same rate as each other. So that's where my confusion comes in. How would you do a basket of backing ups?
I mean, I don't have the answer, like the
I
what's
don't
the
know
ideal
anybody does.
proportions.
Yeah.
That would be someone that's more of a, in finance that, and it really depends on what the purpose of this basket is, right? Like if it's more growth oriented, it's really depends how much risk you want to take on, right? It depends who you ask. Right. When you look at MicroStrategy, they probably take on a lot more risk than like the US government should take. So the proportion of their reserves will be much higher in crypto. Because Michael Saylor, right, the CEO of MicroStrategy, or it's called Strategy now, is very bullish on Bitcoin. And so he's going to be much more, willing to take risk. With the US Strategic Reserve, I would say you have a lower proportion of in Bitcoin, right? And that
Okay.
makes sense.
Yeah, you may get to decide where you want to put your money in terms of who's going to back it. I'm just speculating and I really don't know. But I'll tell you, this is a remarkable change. And I got to say, the banks historically have not been friendly to crypto. I remember there was a day when Jamie Dimon said, if I find out any of my employees are in crypto, I'm going to fire them. Do you remember that statement? It was about 8 years ago. And now, like, we can't beat them, so we better join them. That sends a clear message to the big five banks, doesn't it? You better get on board.
Yeah, and banks are adopting it for sure. Well, they're using blockchain technology, and they're also moving it to custody, to holding the assets for customers. And there was the SEC really held that back for a while, but then they repealed the SOB 121, which was dictating how to categorize crypto on your balance sheet. It was saying you have to basically store it as a liability, and you have to match the crypto with assets. So that really kept banks out of the game for a while. And now that was just repealed, right? The SEC has been dropping cases and really changing its stance. And
Because
so
Gary
that is going
Gensler's
to,
gone. You know
I'm
that?
sorry.
Gary Gensler's gone. That's why.
Well, Gary Gensler is gone, and you have Paul Atkins coming in end of this month, and in the meantime, you have Hester Peirce and other commissioners that are in the SEC that are basically on board with Trump's strategy, right, with crypto. And so, yeah, they've been dropping cases. The case on Coinbase was dropped, and Robinhood and others. And they repealed the rescinded SOB 121, which was a big win, and will cause a lot more adoption among banks, which is what you were talking about.
Exactly. You've kind of gotten into the regulatory landscape area that I was going to go into here a little bit with the dropping of some of these cases, because that means less regulation. Is there anything else that people in crypto should be watching out for with regard to changing regulations under
I
Trump?
mean, the main things are the stablecoin bill, the market structure bill that I already mentioned. So those are the
Right.
two big ones.
That's right.
And now, if you're looking at investing in certain assets, XRP is very interesting. They just had their the appeal drop at the SEC, right? And there's a really good chance, as a result, that we'll have a ETF, an XRP ETF, this year be approved. And so that is something to watch for if you are invested in XRP. There's a lot of reason to believe that there's a lot of room for growth in the price. But yeah, other than that, it's just having more regulation is actually good, right? The SEC was able to sue companies because there wasn't any clarity, right? And now we're putting clarity there. So that means less enforcement actions, right? That means that you can't just go after companies. They don't even know what they did wrong, and you're going after them, right? And now it's much more clear how to be compliant.
Pretty interesting. That is, I wonder if the SEC is going to form a special division to oversee crypto. That, to me, I kind of see that coming.
Yeah, I think they are. I think they do have somebody that's in charge of their crypto committee. I don't, it might be Hester Pierce, I'm not sure, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely a big initiative within the White House, and which trickles down to all the agencies.
What was that XRP lawsuit all about? What was Gensler and the SEC alleging?
Yeah, so they were alleging that there was a sale of unregistered securities. And so they were saying there was about 1.2 billion worth of unregistered security sales. And so the lawsuit has been going on for a while, and basically there was a judgment by a judge that gave a partial victory to Ripple, which is, the company that produces XRP. And the part that they won was the sale to retail investors, to individual investors. They call it programmatic sales.
Okay.
So the judge ruled that did not constitute a sale of unregistered security. So they won that part. The part that they lost is the sale to institutions. So that was deemed unregistered security sale. So they were fined, I think it was 120 million. And that part was just settled for 50 million just 2 days ago, or just yesterday actually. And the part that the SEC lost, they appealed that, right? And the appeal was dropped last week. So basically there's no appeal anymore, right? And now the fine was settled. And it still has to be officially dropped, the appeal. That announcement was made by Brad Garlinghouse, the CEO of Ripple, but the SEC hasn't, finished all the paperwork yet. So there's still a few more steps to go, but it's pretty much going to be resolved in the next few weeks. And so that's really good for XRP and for the industry. And in general, the SEC is backing off. So we're heading in the right direction.
Do you have, I might be asking too technical of a question here, but when a new president comes in, he puts his own people in charge, and we know the directorship of the SEC has changed. Do we know if that's happening with the rank and file, with enforcement officers that go out and find cases to prosecute? Has that changed too with Trump appointees?
I don't I think there's definitely been some changes at the SEC, but I don't know if to what extent that has happened. But I think really what matters is the directive from the top, the main commissioners. So I assume that enforcement actions will not happen anymore, and unless it's obviously someone that's blatantly disregarding the new regulations, right?
Yeah, that's true. What kind of consumer protection regulations should people know about? In other words, when you get into crypto, the government said, okay, crypto, you got to act responsibly, and this is what you got to do. What are some of those things?
Yeah, so I haven't seen the bills yet, like the details of them, but I assume it's going to be around, disclosures, right?
Sure.
Basically getting disclosed on, the technology and, liquidity and risk and, and so I think that's really what it's going to be around, like, making sure people know the risk. Yeah, and making sure that the companies are reputable companies that are registered. If they're registered, that means that there's been research, they have a track record, they have founders that have been vetted, right? It's not a rug pull type thing, right? And so it's important that, if you're investing with a big company, like My Digital Money, for example, and it's not your own wallet, and there's some responsibility that the company is taking and managing your wallet or whatever the service is, that they've been vetted, that they are basically, there's a stamp from the regulatory agency.
Right. You've established one of the things I was wondering about, fiduciary responsibility, that the crypto companies have to put the customer's interest first. And it sounds like that's the direction things are going. And I'm just wondering why Gensler just didn't do that and say so, but I think he had an agenda that we don't want crypto to interfere in our deficit spending. And crypto will have an inverse effect on the value of the dollar compared to what Gensler was supporting.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes down, I think, just to control. And
Exactly.
the government doesn't control Bitcoin or crypto, so it was seen as a threat. But when you look at the will of the people, what the people want, what the people are going to vote for, I mean, crypto and blockchain empowers people, and that's what people want, and that's what's going to happen, and there's no stopping it. And so if you're smart, you'll realize that, and you'll lead the charge on this thing, right?
Yeah, I could see a day, and you can laugh at me, okay, if I'm going overboard here, guy. Okay, that's permitted. You can make fun of me. But right now, if you walk into a store, you basically have two choices for payment. You've got cash and you've got credit cards. Okay? Now, I know you can do EFT and all that stuff, but I'm just saying when you walk into a store, you basically have two broad choices. I can see that changing to where point of sale cryptos are going to come in, and they're connected to the system. And maybe even we'll see this with gold and silver holdings. I mean, you want to comment on that, or is that too
Yeah, I
soon?
mean, it's absolutely going to change. It's just going to take time. And there's already systems that exist, right? It just hasn't been widely adopted. But you have Visa and MasterCard are working on basically allowing you to use your crypto at the point of sale.
Course.
And Apple Pay and all those will get on board where you can leverage your crypto at point of sale. And it converts it essentially to fiat, as when you're making a transaction. But yeah, more and more merchants will eventually accept crypto once that technology is more broadly available. And I think it's going to be cheaper for them to do that, right, than having to pay the 3% or
I agree.
whatever that they have to pay with credit cards.
But then you also have the middleman aspect of it too. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like six one, half dozen the other, probably. If crypto had its own point of sale terminal that you could say, well, I'm doing crypto and you got your card that has your holding on it. Okay, that's one thing. But the other thing, if the credit cards take control of that, they'll have their middleman fee. So you have the 3% on one end and you might have the 3% on the other.
Yeah, I mean, look, it makes at the end of the day, I think efficiency is going to win over.
That's right.
And this technology makes things more efficient. I mean, you see, for example, Fidelity just filed to provide their money market fund on the blockchain, right? So they are basically going to provide I think 80% of their assets and their funds are in treasuries. So they're basically tokenizing this fund so that it's on the blockchain. So at some point you'll be able to directly transfer your shares to another person, right? And even if you can't do that, I mean, it's just much more efficient. Things happen instantaneously. on the blockchain. So, they're already doing this and they're going to use Ethereum, which is good news for Ethereum, actually, because Ethereum's been lagging behind, some of the other competitors. But it's still the number one choice for institutions. So, that was a development that happened a few days ago. I actually have the article over here that says Fidelity prepares to tokenize its US Treasury fund on Ethereum.
Wow. Well,
So it
that's
shows
really
you.
putting it into the mainstream guy. I mean, that's totally mainstream here. That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean the technology makes sense, right? It's just that it takes time to adopt, and regulation has been a big hurdle that is going to be overcome in the next few years. So yeah, it's going to happen over time. It's going to be slow, but look, we're still early on, and that's why I think it's a good investment to look into, right? Investing in Ethereum and XRP. XRP is basically, set to replace the SWIFT system, right? That's a very slow system of transferring money. It takes days to transfer money to my relatives abroad. I have to go through multiple intermediaries and pay fees. With XRP, it can happen instantaneously. And so banks are using it, right? They're going to be using it to replace SWIFT. But it will take some time.
Wow, I know that they're looking at systems that will work over the weekend and so forth, and there won't be the delay in cashing checks.
That's the other thing. Yeah,
I've
these
read about
systems work
that.
24/7. And so when you think about, tokenizing real world assets like the treasuries in the case of Fidelity, that opens up, being able to trade 24/7. And you can imagine it being used for anything, right? Any real world asset that you can trade. So that makes it, much more automated, and you can do it at any time, right? It's just m much more efficient.
It's going to give a new role for financial advisors. They could either lose business because people will manage it themselves, or they'll have to adapt and get involved in this. That's really interesting. There's another thing there's two things I wanted to ask you. One was something you talked about earlier with the lawsuit at the FCC, or the SEC, I should say. It's okay for individuals, and you don't have a securities issue, but it's not okay for institutions. Here's what confuses me. Under our corporate laws, a corporation is treated the same as an individual. This is one of the reasons they can lobby Congress and get away with it. I don't know how a court could differentiate between an institution accepting crypto and an individual. Do you have an explanation for that? Because to me, that seems counterintuitive.
Yeah, I don't remember what their reasoning was here, but I think it had to do with how XRP sold to businesses, and now they've changed the way they've done it. So I think the way they're doing it now will be okay. But I think the way that they were selling it before, for some reason, met the Howey test, right? Which is basically, that it's an investment contract, right? The way that they were positioning it to institutions.
Oh, so you have to acknowledge a risk and say it's an investment. I get it. Okay.
Yeah, and I don't remember the details, and I would have to look into it, but yeah, I think it's just the way that, like, and where they were selling it, right?
Sure. But the way I heard it, it just didn't make sense that individuals can deal with crypto, but institutions can't. And I'm thinking, well, that will limit the use of crypto. So I'm glad to hear that they overcame that barrier. That's good because both need to be on the same side. What about tariffs? How are tariffs going to impact crypto, in your opinion?
Yeah, so the macro just basically impacts crypto like it impacts the S&P 500 or the stock market right now. When people are uncertain about the economy, they are not as willing to invest in riskier assets, right? And so just like you see the NASDAQ or like tech stocks usually go down when there's economic uncertainty, right? Or when the interest rates go up, liquidity is pulled from the market, and in the first place it's going to be taken out of is on risk assets, right? And so yeah, when the whole tariffs uncertainty happened, crypto took a hit, but lately there's been a much more mild tone about tariffs. I think Trump has made some statements that he's not going to be as aggressive. Not as reciprocal in the rates, right? not as tit for tat, so at least in the short term. So I think the initial shock is also subsiding of the tariffs. So that's why I think crypto is bouncing back a little bit. So yeah, in the short term, we're going to be moving with the tech, the Nasdaq a little bit, right? The crypto market. But as it matures, right? As crypto matures as an asset, it'll eventually be more independent. But yeah, economic uncertainty definitely impacts crypto right now.
Well, that's true too with the stock market or anything else with investment possibilities. Crypto, the tariffs, in my opinion, aren't going to be with us real long. It's a leverage tool by Trump, and he knows he can win a war of attrition with other nations economically, and they know it too. So they'll bluster to gain favor with the people that vote for them in these foreign countries, but they're not going to maintain resistance. I mean, we saw it before in his first term. Everyone that was faced with tariffs capitulated to Trump in his first term. And I think that crypto will not end up having adverse effects with it. Neither will gold, silver, the stock market. I think that's pretty clear, at least in the long run. What does crypto do to the power of the Federal Reserve that's been, except for Kennedy, when John Kennedy had the silver certificates, except for that, the Federal Reserve has had complete control over the economy with regard to money supply and manipulating the value and interest rates and fractional reserve banking and all that stuff. What does crypto do to that? Anything?
I think it probably does reduce the power a little bit, right? I mean, that's the goal is, to basically take away the ability to mismanage the money supply, right? So it probably softens the effects like in the long run, right? But right now it's probably too small to notice. But yeah, I guess it makes people more honest, right? Because it's real, right? Like the supply of Bitcoin is a supply. You can't, manage that. You can't, manipulate that, like you can with printing, right? And so yeah, I think if anything, it really is good as a good balance that it provides. I think it
Agree.
softens the power that the Fed has.
I agree. Well, before we close, I need to ask you this. First time investor in crypto calls My Digital Money, and we'll give out the contact information in just a second, but they call. What do you think the best investment is today? Which crypto would you tell people to go with today?
Yeah, I mean, that we shy from giving advice, but we do just give the
Oh, this is
information.
just opinions between friends here. Not professional advice. Okay.
Well, the two most popular options are always going to be Bitcoin and Ethereum. Bitcoin is about half of what people purchase on our platform because it's, the oldest, and the leader and has the most liquidity. And I think that if you're looking at risk relatively, it probably has the least risk out of all of them. So it's a good one to start with. Ethereum is, also been proven. XRP is number three in terms of market cap, and it does have the most growth potential, I think, out of those three. Because, it is newer, and now that the lawsuit's behind us, it can realize its potential, right? It's being adopted within traditional finance, right? So it's not aiming to fully replace the banking system. It's actually working within the traditional banking system. So that one is more practical in terms of adoption, right? The
What
adoption
about
path.
liquidity compared to Bitcoin? How does it compare?
It has good liquidity, not, as much as Bitcoin, maybe half. I don't, and I could tell you right now by looking at CoinMarketCap because it's always changing. So let me show you. But yeah, I think it probably is probably a fifth of the liquidity. Let me see. Bitcoin is at 1.7 trillion and, XRP is at 138. Yeah, so it's about 10% of the liquidity of Bitcoin. But it's actually number four now, I see. It's behind Tether. But it has 138 billion in liquidity, so not bad.
Yeah, I like what you said though, the long range potential of XRP. It's just you got to realize there's less liquidity. Now, what does that mean for people if they need to liquefy their assets, so to speak? And
Yeah, I mean, there hasn't been
versus
any
Bitcoin.
issue that I've run into. I mean, you can always sell on any big exchange with us. There's no issue with being
Okay.
able to sell it.
So if people buy it from you, they can buy it. You'll buy it back if they want to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're
That's
connected to a bunch of liquidity providers and exchanges, right? So there's
cool.
under the hood, there's plenty of places where we can sell it. That happens instantaneously. When you could sell it right with a click of a button on our platform. So yeah, that we always go with cryptocurrencies that we can sell right away. There's no issue.
Okay, where does Bitcoin sit today? What's the price?
It's at 86,000. The all-time high is somewhere around 107. So we still have a ways to go to get back to the all-time high. But when you put things in perspective, we were right before the election at, in the 60s, right? So we're still doing pretty well in the last 6 months, even though there's been a big pullback, right? It seems like all people think about is, oh wow, we really pulled back. It's not going well, but when you really put things in perspective, we're still doing pretty well in the last 6 months. So
Do
the good news is there's a lot of room to go up.
you extricate retirement contracts like 401ks and IRAs from banks and put it under people's control and back it with crypto? Do you do that service?
So yeah, we offer IRAs. So basically, you could put your crypto in your IRA. And that is really great because you don't have to pay taxes for a while or ever, depending on the type of IRA. And so,
73 years of age, or when you cash out. I know my wife and I just researched that. Yeah,
yeah,
you're
so you could
absolutely
take a
right. You're
distribution.
right.
If it's a traditional IRA, then you don't pay taxes up front, but then later when you take a distribution, you do.
Understood.
But that means that you can take advantage of compound growth, right? You basically can sell your crypto once it doubles and not pay taxes on it, and then you can buy back in and you can keep doing that. And then when you retire, then you could take a distribution, right? You could take, let's say, 100,000 a year or 200,000 a year, and pay taxes like it's income. But you can also do a Roth IRA where you're paying taxes up front, but then later you never have to pay any taxes on your gains.
Got it. The
So when you combine that with the growth potential, of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, it's really great.
when you do one of those with My Digital Money, a Roth or an IRA, it's under the person's control. Is that right? And not the bank?
Yeah, well, we're holding your, it's being custodied by, our partner. So you're not, it's not in your own wallet, but you legally own it. We're not allowed to actually
That's what I'm
own it.
saying.
Yeah.
Because, under Dodd-Frank, I'll just give you an example. If you have a retirement associated with the bank in Dodd-Frank, you've been put in second place as a owner of that money. The bank now owns your money and your retirement, and so they can keep it if they so desire. Now, I think
Yeah.
that's a public relations nightmare, but guy, if they were failing, they'd have nothing to lose since they're going out of business, so they would keep all the assets they could. And this is why I tell people, don't ever put your retirement in the bank. If you can avoid it, you need to
Yeah.
have it out of the bank. Do you agree with that advice?
Yeah, I mean, I think putting it with a trust or in that kind of vehicle is better.
Yeah, exactly. We've answered a lot of questions here today. Is there anything that we want to close with besides contact information on how to get a hold of you?
No, I would say, if you have any questions, we have a US-based customer service, right? And so we're
Love
here to
that.
answer questions. That's one of the differentiators of My Digital Money, is that, we'll pick up your call. And, from time to time, if we're too busy and we can't pick up the call, we'll call you back right away. We used to try to guarantee that we'll pick up the phone, but sometimes, when the market's hot, we get a lot of calls at once. So, but we'll call you right back at least. So you'll be able to talk to a live person in the US that's knowledgeable about crypto.
What's that number?
So it's 833-636-2008.
833-636-2008. And I know you have a website.
MyDigitalMoney.com. You can find the number on there as well. And you can sign up. It takes about 5 minutes. And you can give us a call if you have any questions.
I always like to say this when I talk to you because people say, well, I don't know about crypto or Bitcoin because they grew up in an older generation, and I get that. But there's a play money account that you can do too. I've been on your site and looked at it. It's pretty cool. You can go in with no risk, and you can start with a pre-designed amount, and you can learn how that you can invest in crypto, liquefy the crypto. It's pretty cool. I like what you've done there, because that takes a lot of the anxiety out of taking that leap of
Yeah.
jumping in of jumping into crypto. But it is definitely a wave of the future. Trump endorsed, and I think this is really, really important. And the 100 and something that the crypto went up to, I think a lot of that was driven by emotion at one time. I think where you're at now is a more of a realistic value, but it's increasing, isn't it?
It's increasing, and with regulations, it's gonna really skyrocket, I
There you
think.
go. Yeah, exactly. Because people's confidence will be high. Our guest has been Guy Gottschalk from mydigitalmoney.com. I'll give that number out again, 833-636-2008. Go take a look. If you've never done crypto before, it's something you might want to think about, because it is one of the waves of the future in our economic restructuring. Guy, thanks so much for joining us. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Same here. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really a pleasure to come before you. And we would ask that you would share far and wide. We still have a lot of people to wake up. And that's not meant as an insult. We all get busy with our lives and we can't stay on top of everything. But there are some important things we're covering here that Americans need to get involved with if they want to preserve any sense of the republic that we have left. We have a foothold, but we got to do our part. We just can't depend on the newly elected leaders and their appointees to do the job for us. So please share far and wide. Hey, we've got a really good TV show starting next month, exclusivity on HIPS, Hiding in Plain Sight, Mysteries, Mysteries, Mysteries of the Mind, of History, of Repressed Technology, right on down the line. Really interesting stuff. Also to go with our geopolitics, as well as our great interviews. Now, this particular venue is going to change somewhat in terms of balance. We're going to do more HIPS, and that'll be commercial free. And that will also be exclusive to the site. And that starts on April the 1st. And we're putting some teasers out just to kind of show you what we're doing. And really, some of our highest rated shows have been from HIPS. Pretty cool stuff. Anyway, sign up today, thecommonsenseshow.tv. Hey, we have a really, really good sponsor. Earlier today, I talked to you about the starter pack from Magic Dicol, the Nanosoma products. If you get 3 bottles of the liquid spray, and that boosts your immune system to unbelievable levels, it enhances vitamin C, vitamin D, the nuclear receptors, and expands the telomeres, which is linked to longevity. And it doesn't cure anything, but what it does do is it stands up and meets in the past with an enhanced immune system the things that come your way. And I tell you, I owe my life to this. And you've heard me talk about that. The Metasomer gel, well, right now I'm rubbing it on my shoulder. I'm getting reduction in pain. In addition, I've rubbed it on my knee where I had bone on bone last year, and I'm able to do things in the gym I haven't done in 25 years. And of course, the skin cream here erases fine lines and wrinkles, and also is good treatment. So right there, 15% off the starter pack. iwantmyhealthback.com/DaveHodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/DaveHodges. Well, Mark Kelly, Senator from Arizona, has, by the way, where was his gratitude as a former astronaut for what Elon Musk did to save the astronauts? I mean, they're going through some pretty tough physical times. They spent way too long in space, and no one from the Biden administration seemed to give a crap about how they were doing. Musk rescued them, where Biden could have, but did not. And I'm not saying Biden, I'm talking his people. He wasn't making decisions. At least it doesn't appear that way. I've got something that needs to be looked into as well. He wasn't competent enough to run for president. So why was he still in office? Good question. And people like the astronauts suffered, in my humble opinion, because of that. Where's the thanks, Mark Kelly, as a former astronaut? These were your compadres. Someone you should identify with, the extreme risk of being in space and in how they were treated. Oh, can't bring that up, can we? Anyway, he's called for the resignation of Pete Hegseth because of this so-called leak to The Atlantic and reporter Goldberg. Okay, well, Goldberg doesn't have a stellar job of being accurate in his reporting, and that's been pointed out all across the net. I'm not going to come in and besmirch the guy. but they're holding him up now, some pillar of authenticity. He's another reporter that makes mistakes like everybody else. I mean, that's how I see him. I don't think he's any better or any worse than anyone in the mainstream media. He hates Trump, and he has no trouble embellishing this leak. And we're going to take a look at what Hegseth said in response to Goldberg and Democrats and Mark Kelly's call for Pete Hegseth to resign over this. And then we're going to show you the hypocrisy of the people making these claims. Pretty interesting stuff. Let's go ahead and share this up here. And all right, so let me read to you here Pete Hegseth's response. I think he could have left the cuss word out, and I'll gloss over that with a substitute synonym. So let me get this straight. The Atlantic released the so-called war plans, and those plans include no names, no targets, no locations, no units, no routes, no sources, no methods, and no classified information. Those are some really crappy, my substitution word, war plans. This proves only one thing. Jeff Goldberg has never seen a war plan or an attack plan, as he now calls it, not even close. As I type this, my team and I are traveling to Indo-PACOM region, meeting with commanders for guys who make real war plans and talking to the troops. We will continue to do our job while the media does what it does best, peddles hoaxes. I can't disagree with what Hegseth is saying there. This contained no classified information. Had it, regular cell phone communication would not have been able to be used because it's encrypted. Hello, hello, I know this. I know this because of my work with intelligence people, both present and former. There was nothing revealed that shouldn't have been revealed. Was it a mistake? Yeah, but it didn't leak anything. And we've already bombed Yemen. So the fact that that's being discussed with military leaders and we're going to plan something. I think the people in Yemen have already realized that. By the way, there's some people out there saying that Trump is a war criminal because he attacked Yemen. Excuse me, for years, these people and the Somalians have attacked international shipping. This has been covered widely in the mainstream media, but more in Europe and Africa than here. Not sure why, but it's a fact. Yemen's been a problem. Yemen has now attacked naval ships in the region without provocation. The factor there is not provocation. It's international waters. And Yemen has done that. You are subject to retaliation when that happens. Military option is completely justified when one is attacked. And I would say the reverse is true also. But Pete Hegseth is absolutely right about this. But I want to shift gears. Where was reporter Goldberg when Mark Milley was caught? And I was going to play the clip, but it was so widely spread, I'm redundant if I do that. You already know this happened. Milley did two things that the mainstream media, including reporter Goldberg, ignored. Number one, he was negotiating with the Chinese without Trump's knowledge. And he tried to excuse it, saying, I have a carte blanche order. I can communicate with the Chinese whenever I want. Well, that's not what Trump says. And who is the commander in chief? Trump. Whose opinion matters? Trump, not Milley. Milley was insubordinate. And had he said anything, and we don't know the total context of his conversation, but could it be subject to treason? Yeah, if he's making unauthorized communication that would cause a hazard to the troops or endanger anybody on the American side, yeah, it would be treason. But certainly, if it's not treason, it's insubordination. And I don't know why Trump didn't take action. That man should have been drummed out of the service. And if, trust me, people in the military have lost their pensions for less than this. So I'll leave that one thing. Another thing Milley said that reporter Goldberg ignored, as well as The Atlantic and other publications, when Milley said this, if we were going to go to war with China, I would communicate with my Chinese counterpart, meaning General Li, LI, of the Chinese, the Chaicom military, the PLA. Excuse me? You're going to communicate in advance of a planned attack by the United States? Who in their right mind would ever authorize you, General Milley, to do this? You're under civilian leadership when you were in office there in the Pentagon as the Joint Chief, the Chairman of the Joint Chief. You were duty bound to report to the president and follow his orders. Anything less than that is insubordination. And if you're warning an adversary that an attack is coming, how many American lives would that cost? Well, this is why a lot of people that are ex-military, because you can't be in the military and get away with saying this, but ex-military are saying that's treason. And they've written to me. They said, Dave, why haven't you addressed this? Well, actually, I did address it, but I'm addressing it again. Because here we have Hegseth, a non-classified document that's leaked to the media that contains no war plans, no names, no routes, all the things I read to you. And they're calling for his resignation. Yet the same liberal media is, ignoring what Milley did. And here's another issue too. Tom Cotton, and you can research this, it's on X, it's on the internet, I think it's on YouTube. In fact, I know it's on YouTube. Tom Cotton, Senator Tom Cotton, was questioning the former defense secretary and also to General Milley. And remember, Kabul fell, the airport fell on August 15th. Milley admitted there were no discussions about leaving behind 2,500 soldiers prior to August 25th. The 13 service people that needlessly lost their lives were killed 10 days prior. This is dereliction of duty. This is neglect. I think Secretary Austin is more to blame than Milley, but Milley had a duty to report to the president. And the president said, no one ever said we should leave troops behind. Now, who's telling the truth? Is it Biden or is it Austin and Milley? Well, it looks like Milley, again, is insubordinate to the president. If the president's term of statement, and I'm talking Biden, if the president's statement, no one consulted me about leaving 2,500 troops behind, then Milley is lying under oath to the Senate. So is Secretary Austin. They're guilty of that. That's a court-martialable offense. And not only that, they were negligent in their duties, because why would you ask to see troops behind, left behind 10 days after the airport had fallen? And not to mention, we left thousands of Afghanis who collaborated with us, subject to extreme retaliation and death, as well as Americans. We left these people behind. Private contractors were hired to go in and rescue as many of these people as possible. Okay, I want to know something, mainstream media. If we're going to report a leaked statement that's not classified, that has no war plans in it, even though Goldberg's calling it the attack plan, which is a total misrepresentation, if you're going to call for resignation there, where was your outrage with Milley, Secretary Austin, and the fact that they both lied, or Biden lied under oath? Which is it? Here's the point of what I'm making here. What's good for the goose is not good for the gander. What is a violation of one thing is not a violation when the Democrats do it, or their cronies do it. And clearly, Milley was a Democratic crony. So was Austin, appointed by a Democrat. Milley, maintained by a Democrat. Where's the consistency here? There isn't any. This with Hegseth is a slippage with no damage. It's no harm, no foul. Can someone explain to me what was compromised? But see, the Democrats, and this is why your approval rating has now slipped to 28%. The people who are Democratic, like Bill Maher, who just delivered her eulogy for the party, they want to see a party platform. They want leaders to emerge. They want a clear direction of policy that makes sense and encompasses most of Americans. The only party platform that I observe from the Democrats is to say the opposite of Trump or his people, to attack Trump or his people. I haven't heard them put forth anything. They want to defend U.S. aid in the face of everything that's been discovered. You've got to be kidding me. You're driving voters away when you do this. And California's losing seats in Congress. Minnesota is losing seats in Congress. Washington is losing seats in Congress. Oregon will lose seats in Congress. What do all these states and more have in common? They're blue states where people are voting with their feet when they can afford to move. And many more would move, but they can't afford it. I think the Democrats better wake up. You better start standing for something. And you better start working with the Trump administration. I don't say you have to agree with everything they're doing, but you've got to find common ground or you have no chance in the upcoming elections. And I don't want to see one party rule. I don't want to see MAGA in charge and that's it. That's dangerous. This is where dictatorships arise. No, I'm not saying the MAGA people are dictators, but who's to say the next generation of leaders that follow these would not be if it's a single party rule and then they're not accountable to anybody but themselves? That's dangerous. We need at least two and preferably more healthy parties to present the American people with options that they can intelligently vote on instead of this just constant sniping and basically political assassination with everything they say. It gets twisted, the media lies. I mean, the public is sick of it. I'm sick of it. Mark Kelly, you're a senator in Arizona, and you couldn't even go as far to thank Elon Musk. You called him an a-hole in public communications. They had to edit you out of ABC, NBC, CBS, and CNN, and Fox. They had to edit out your comment, but your tweet was there. It said the word for a-hole. Do you think that's professional for a senator? Do you think the public who voted for you wants to see their senator act in such an undignified manner? I think not, and I think you ought to be embarrassed. But I'm not calling for your resignation. You made a mistake. You need to apologize. And then you need to thank Elon Musk for rescuing those people. Now, if you have a problem with Doge, Doge is not entirely wrong. They have found fraud, waste, and abuse. You need to center on what you disagree with instead of making a blanket statement that Musk is an a-hole and everything he's done with Doge should be thrown out and he's unconstitutional and I won't drive a Lexus, so I'll buy a gas guzzler. I'm sorry, people, this is how it is. Democrats are self-destructing. And some people say, Dave, are you suddenly for Democrats? Well, okay, if you play nothing but the Sisters of the Poor in athletics and you win every game by 1,000 points, when it really comes down to the playoffs, have you done yourself any favors? I don't think so. I don't think so. We need a healthy, competitive, two-party system that will come together when times are tough. And you people on the left haven't discovered that. And you say, well, it takes two. Okay, when I watch stuff discussed like Doge in the Senate and in the House, and the Democrats choose to boycott those meetings, they're willingly giving up their voice, and then they cry they were left out, like Schumer did. That was a lie. You weren't left out. You left yourself out. And these are the facts. And quite frankly, it's really time for MAGA to split into two. Susan Collins and Murkowski, start your own dang party. Add Mitt Romney in there as your chairman, and you're off to the races with the Rhino Party. Maybe that'll be the two-party system because we don't want a one-party MAGA system, period. It's dangerous. Oh, don't get me wrong. MAGA is scoring really high rates with me, A's and A pluses. But we don't want this long term. We don't want it long term. I want a republic form of democracy with participants who give a damn about the United States. And right now, I don't see a lot of Democrats and then some Republicans that don't care. They do not care about you. They do not care about the United States, and they need to be shown the door. They truly do. If you want to go to rallies, and by the way, the rallies are fake because they're showing up mainly at concerts where there are already thousands of people there, and then they take their 10 minutes. This is what Kamala did too in the campaign. It's designed to create the impression the country is rising up against Trump. That is not the case. That is not the case. He's carrying out the mandate he promised when he got elected. Is Trump perfect? No, I criticized him this morning. He's not perfect. But I'll tell you what, Democrats, you're offering nothing. Nothing to follow. Nothing for your Democrat followers to latch on to and say, yeah, we're going to do that. The Democrats do not want to see waste, fraud, and abuse like what was exposed in USAID. They don't want to see it. They don't want to see the abuse of power that was present in the former Attorney General's office as well as the FBI. They don't want to see this. I don't want to see it directed at Democrats. If Pam Bondi were to do what Merrick Garland did, I'd be calling for her resignation. Grow up. Mark Kelly, apologize and grow up. Hard to believe he's my senator. Can't believe we have two Democratic senators in a conservative state like Arizona. But that's another topic for another time. I'm Dave Hodges. Sign up for our newsletter, thecommonsenseshow.com. Put in your email address, and you'll get one-stop shopping for everything we've done in the previous 24 hours. See you back here next time. Thank you very much for joining us.